Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host,
ladies and gentlemen,
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, and it has been a very busy week in the TV world. Of course, we had the Emmys over the weekend that were definitely unprecedented and showed an entire new side of how an award show could work. Jimmy Kimmel hosted and really pulled it off pretty effortlessly. While the ratings hit an all-time low, it was still a pretty big success for ABC since they were the first show to do a show in that way that they really took advantage of using the live elements that they could instead of pre-taping a ton of segments. There was very little pre-taped, which we have to give them a shout out for because that's incredible. The people that we have to talk about is Schitt's Creek because the cast swept the entire comedy category, all the actor awards, writing, directing, and comedy series of the year. So as they deserved, it's very, very exciting to see a new show that, while it's not new, it just aired its final season, but a new show that hasn't been recognized before. So it's very, very incredible to see. Somehow Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara had never gotten acting Emmys before, which is insane seeing as how they both have done so much incredible work over the years. So that was awesome. Of course, Watchmen and Succession also dominated in the limited series and drama categories, proving that HBO does not need Game of Thrones to continue their winning streak at the Emmys. So shout out to both of them as well. This week, we're going to get into an interview with a dear friend of mine, an actress. Her name is Miranda Rae Mayo. You may know her from Chicago Fire. She plays Stella. She's absolutely incredible. And she's also a very big activist and a musician. So I really want to talk to her about her time over quarantine and, of course, getting back to set in Chicago and what things are going to look like. So without further ado, here is my interview with Miranda. Miranda, thank you so much for joining.
Girl, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
How have you been? How has quarantine been for you?
Oh, what a question. It's been, I feel like the way that I experienced quarantine was kind of in chapters, in segments. And when it first happened, there was a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety, but I was quarantining with three other people. One of them was a boyfriend. And so there was like this tight knit, like, all right, we got this. It's going to be movies. It's going to be TV. We're not going to break down. And then, breakdown was inevitable. and we all had our breakdowns. And then I ended up taking a road trip out to California to go see my family and to work on some music. And three friends came with me to do that. And that was very stressful during a pandemic, you know, trying to make sure that everybody was safe. We went through states that were not shutdown states and had to argue with like people about, you know, six. Basically, we went to go see Zion, and we got in. There was like a commuter van that was going up, and they were trying to pack the vans as full as possible. And I was like, "Excuse me, actually, there's a global pandemic going on." And the woman was so confused. She was just like, "But Utah's not a shutdown state." And I was like, right, but people are still dying. So it was wild. But now, where am I now? I just let you know there's so many chapters, so many different adventures. Yes. I also feel like at the beginning of the shutdown and the pandemic, there was a lot of pressure that I put on myself to produce, to be creative, to get things done. And then I would say maybe like a month and a half in, it was just like, no, I actually think that this is a time to rest. This is a time to really look at what's not working in our system and how I contribute to that and how I can begin to break that down within myself.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that because a lot of people I've talked to have said, like, I felt you know, I feel guilty if I didn't, you know, if you're a writer, like I felt guilty because I wasn't writing a ton. I wasn't feeling creative. I wasn't taking advantage of the time at home. But ultimately, like, it's also just as, if not more important to take care of like yourself also and actually take advantage of having a little time off.
Girl, you can't pour from an empty cup. And it's so interesting. It's like that's something that it's a phrase that I feel like floats around in our culture, but also deep down in the subconscious underbelly of our culture mm-hmm. is your worth is equal to how much you can produce.
Right.
And that's just not sustainable. It's not in alignment with any of the fundamental laws of the universe, of nature, you know what I mean? So I feel like that way of living, that way of capitalistic living is kind of, it's catching up to us. We're seeing how like, oh crap, like, yeah, like our healthcare system is actually garbage because we haven't taken time to invest in health and in our people. It's all been about production.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for you, I mean, obviously producing content is also part of your living, how you make a living. So for you, was that tough for you to kind of draw that line? Like you created music. You obviously are getting back to work on Chicago Fire soon. Was it tough for you to be like, how can I balance both? How can I do both of these very important things in my life?
Yeah, both of these very important things in my life being relaxing, taking time for myself and producing content. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Girl, yeah, yes. Because I think here's my challenge like in life right now is I think that it's easy for me to look out and see where the problems are and see what, you know, and be kind of an idealist and be like, this is how it should be. And this is how it should be. And this is how it should be. But the reality is that we live in the world that we live in. And so my practice has just been on a daily basis. I mean, I really lean on my spiritual practices to get me through meditation, journaling, reading, being in community with people who also are in a practice of really developing a relationship with their inner world and nature. So I think that is a huge part of what's helping me to kind of find the balance between taking steps forward in creating the world that I want to see mm-hmm. and still existing in the world that we live in now, because that is what it is.
Tell me about the Holistic Life Foundation, because I know that that's kind of mixes in with what you were just talking about. I know you created a virtual book club, which is incredible. And it's so important to you. How did you kind of get involved in that?
I found out about them because I was talking to a friend of mine about how I really wanted to create like part of my like long-term vision for life. I love kids. I love working with kids. And I really wanted to create some kind of curriculum where kids would learn about mindfulness and how to quiet their minds and how to create inner peace within themselves and how to focus. And literally, I mean, it was serendipity, synchronicity. It was like 2 days later that he sent me this CNN article and was like, yo, there are three guys out in Baltimore who are doing that right now. And this was in 2017. So I read the article and it talked about how these three men who are from the Baltimore community, essentially after college, they went to a local elementary school and they were like, how can we serve? They had a mentor, which was, so two of the guys are brothers and their uncle was their mentor in kind of teaching them about yoga and meditation and daily rituals and daily practices and all those things. And also that, you know, service to the community is very important. So they went to the elementary school, were like, how can we be of service? The principal gave them, I think their seven most like outspoken, troublesome kids and were like, do something. So they ended up creating this program called Mindful Me, and which is one of many programs that they ended up creating. But essentially they replaced the detention with a mindfulness room. So if a kid is being disruptive in class, they get sent to the mindfulness room where there was an adult who would actively listen, take them through breathing exercises if need be, but also just listen to like what's going on with you, because sometimes like they're just hungry, or sometimes they're, you know, there are things going on at home that they can't talk about. And so rather than it's like just getting kids to shut up and be quiet, it's like, let's actually take care and let's actually be mindful with how we're treating these children. And so the CNN article was all about how at the time it had been 3 years since they had had a suspension. They're teaching workshops, you know, at universities and colleges that's all really grounded in scientific evidence, you know, supporting. It's like, yes, we're doing yogic practices, but here's the science that backs it up, that can show you how this is actually beneficial for our bodies and our minds and the planet.
It's honestly shocking, because for me, it's like, that's nothing. I've never even heard, I never even knew that existed. And it's like, if I think kind of what you were saying is, if we can change the way that kids are growing up now and have that outlet, maybe in the future, the vision that we have for the future would be different. So
there are so many adults that I have met that I'm like, damn, if you would have had that mindfulness room.
Like, I mean, I wish I had it. Every kid should have that. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's been a lot of ups and downs, obviously, through this time in the world. But something that you've used as an outlet for a long time is music. So tell me about recording and writing and everything during this. I mean, it must be tough. Was it tough to get inspired, or was it kind of a push for that?
I feel like I definitely used it as an outlet for my anxiety. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with me is that I can be very cerebral and analytical. Like, I think we all can be, especially during this time. So even when it comes to, I feel like I'm very emotionally intelligent, but I can get caught up in my head about mm-hmm. analyzing all that. So what was happening during the music creation process was I was feeling all of these feelings, and then I would want to talk about it, and then I would want, and I would try and write, and I would try and be really cerebral. And then my friends were like, well, maybe we should just jam. And I was like, you know what? Actually, that's it. So that's kind of how it went. It was a lot of me trying to figure things out in my mind and telling myself, like, I've never done this before. I've never like fully completed a project, and this is something that's so vulnerable, blah, 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 blah. And my friends were like, shh, shh, just play the piano, play your cello. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, any time that I like get into my body, that I start using my hands, like that is when I think really wonderful, magical things can start to happen. And then I start channeling that fear and that sadness and that anxiety. Mm-hmm. So that's how my process has been so far.
So where are you at recording an album? How far along are you?
So essentially, we wrote, I think, 11 songs on the trip. We got tracks for, I want to say like 7. Yeah, I think I've been thinking about just kind of, you know, I created this show called the Eleutheromania Experience. And under that umbrella also have been teaching mindfulness workshops to kids in Fresno from my hometown community. And I feel like this is totally something that fits under that umbrella. Eleutheromania means an irresistible desire for freedom. And I think that releasing music has been something that has been so, it's like I've just been talking about it for forever and starting it and then not and getting scared. And so this really is, it has been a journey of just like letting go and trusting and just allowing myself to be seen, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that. You're about to go back to work at Chicago Fire, I assume soon. How is that going to work time-wise? How are you going to balance that? Like, how can you do both?
I think with the support of my collaborators, I think that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Any time that I've tried to, you know, do anything like all by myself, it never really pans out well. You know, humanity is a team sport. Like,
it's hard not to be in your own head. So I feel like that's a big reason why it's better to have people kind of on your side with any project.
Totally. 1000%. I think that's part of the reason why I haven't released music is it's because I've gotten so in my head that that I have to do it all. It's kind of like an insecure form of narcissism, like to think like it's all about me and what does this say about me? And I feel like now I'm really open to just being like, what? Like, let's just play, let's have fun. Let's collaborate with people and have this be something that we together can, you know, put out into the world and be proud of. And it's, you know, and it's a gift to the community. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as scheduling with work, I mean, I have the honest answer is, I don't know. I know that, you know, NBC is, and Wolf Productions, they are being very diligent with protocols and making sure that everybody is safe. And we had a training yesterday over Zoom about how things were going to go on set. And it's a little daunting, but I'm grateful that they care, you know? And so I have a feeling that music is going to be a nice refuge from, you know, this place where it's gonna be a little tense for a little bit, because we all have a responsibility to one another. We all want to make sure that everybody is okay. Nobody wants to be the one who's responsible for somebody getting sick.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Have you and your co-stars talked about like how these new protocols are going to work and how stressful it might be?
No, not yet. Literally, it was, we had the Zoom call. I got off. I took a deep breath and then I went and I took a bath. I within myself was like, okay, Miranda, like you have a couple weeks to really get focused. Okay. It's game time when you do that, like never before, which I'm up for the challenge. Yeah. I think for lack of a better word, not the blessing, but maybe a welcomed shift that COVID has provided is a shift in perspective as far as caring about the community and recognizing how our individual actions affect the community as a whole. I think that I at least know in my life, especially in this career, it all can be very individualistic and like, all right, I got to focus on me and I got to, I can't come home for vacation. You know, I got to focus. I got to work. I got a goal. Mm-hmm. And I don't, it's just this career. I would imagine that you know, as getting as far as you have in your career, feel similarly and lots of other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a shift now where it's like, okay, I can't just think about myself because my actions like literally can directly affect the health of people that I love. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that that's more, natural. Like, I think that that's more in alignment with nature and how ecosystems work.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, it's difficult and it's uncomfortable and it's a big shift in the way that we have operated, you know, on set. But I welcome the challenge to be more mindful, a more mindful, like, community member and tribe member.
Yeah, definitely. When you are in Chicago, are you going to have to be quarantined there? Like, are you not going to be able to leave on weekends and things like that? Because I know some people have talked about it. You know, we have friends at filming in, like, Vancouver that they're like, can't go home for the holidays. We already know because we're filming through. And we can't leave because we have to do the quarantine process all over again. So, like, have you guys talked about that too?
We're getting tested every day. And so even when, if we're not scheduled to work, it's like, we got to go in and get tested.
Yeah.
So, which again, it's just like, we got to think about the whole, mm-hmm. and how it's like, it's beneficial for everyone and keeping everybody safe. So yeah. So as far as traveling on weekends, like I think that it's maybe possible, but for me personally, like I just wouldn't want to go away on a weekend, come back, test positive. Do you know what I mean? And it was for
the one to put everyone at risk.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You know, and for what? Like,
right. And I mean, you have a lot of friends on the show. You have friends in Chicago, I would assume, at this point, because you've been there for a while. You have do you have roommates still, or do you have your own place there?
No. So yeah. So I got my own place. And I have room, and I have Netflix. So I have a really great bathtub.
The important things.
The important things. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that. So for the next like 3 months, every now and then I do like dry spells where I don't drink, and so I've decided that for the end of the year that I'm not drinking, and I was so upset. I was like, you know what? It's like Olivia Pope is a very successful fictional character in the world, and she has a glass of red wine every night. Like, how am I going to survive this quarantine without a glass of red wine?
I give you a lot of kudos. I couldn't do through the end of the year. That's a big, big commitment.
I'll keep you posted on the Instagram story. It'll be specifically for you. Be like, today's tough day, Em.
Exactly. Before I let you go, I obviously have to ask about, like, storyline. Have you guys talked about, have you read anything?
No.
You haven't gotten any. Derek is keeping you in the dark.
Derek is like, listen, please just be healthy. Just be healthy, show up to set healthy, and then we'll talk about storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, girl. I don't know. I have no idea. I do know that because we didn't end on any cliffhangers, mm-hmm. that we are, which I think worked out magnificently. We don't have to pick up where we left off. Okay. We can pick up, you know, 5 months later, or however long it's been. Who even knows?
Yeah, no clue. When it's interesting, because obviously a lot of the headlines and a lot of things we're reading about, and the people who are working so hard amid all of this, is first responders. Yeah. And we always think of, you know, people in hospitals, especially, and police officers and things like that. I don't always think of how it's going to affect firefighters. So I'm very curious how the show is going to be showing that and how that is going to affect the firehouse in general.
I am too. I'm trying to figure out how I can go and visit some of the firehouses and like get some info about mm-hmm. how it's been while also social distancing and not ruining my place of employment. And even, yeah, I mean, even with like our gear, our masks that we have to wear, I'm very curious, but I'm sorry. I don't have any answers for you.
How dare you not know how firefighters are dealing with this?
I know. You know who probably does is freaking Kara Kilmer. She knows everything.
We obviously know that Annie is not returning, which I'm so upset about. We have a new person coming in, Adrienne Rae. Have you spoken to her yet? Have you gotten to know her at all yet?
Yeah, I met her and she's her beauty startled me. Like I went on the Zoom that we had, like a Zoom meeting, and it was the first time that we all were like going to be seeing each other. And I was swiping, you know, because I was on the Zoom on my phone, and I was swiping, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
You ever have that happen where just somebody's like walking down the street, or you just see somebody and you're like, whoa, like just like her beauty, like shocked like my system. It was too much, like staring straight into the sun. For whatever it's worth, I also I felt that way about Annie multiple times on set. Like she would just be standing and the sun would be hitting her and I literally would like have a seizure because I couldn't take it. I think any person who comes on our show is very lucky, because we are a group of people who are very genuine and accommodating, and we want our team to succeed. You know, there's not a lot of ego in our cast, which I'm so grateful for. Like I experienced the benefits of that. Alberto, Daniel, Annie experienced the benefits of that, and now Adrienne will experience the benefits of that. Although, you know, they're you know, Annie Alonza is one of the most special people I've ever met, one of the most talented actresses, and just one of the most kind-hearted, generous, brilliant people I've ever met. I consider her a lifelong friend. Like she's my family, so it's going to be really hard, you know, not having her on set. But she's a badass. She gonna be okay.
She booked it. I don't know if you saw. She booked a film. She did a film in Tahoe.
Of course. I mean, of course. It's not even surprising at all because she's awesome. Well, I was gonna say, because something I really love, obviously, Stella and Severide are so many people love. But there's also this like such an awesome friendship between the girls in the house that I hope can, I know that obviously now without Foster, it's a little bit different, but I hope that kind of stays tight knit.
I think so. I think that one of our writers, it's very important to her, that the female camaraderie, shows strength. And so I really have a lot of faith that that will continue. The fans love it. And like Kara and I just are like, we are those girls that are like, come here, girl, what you need, what you want, we got you. I mean, like Kara's from, you know, Texas. Like she's like, come here, what do you need? Let me bake you some cookies, baby. I got you. So I think, and Adrienne, I mean, from talking to her the little bit that I have, like she is so excited to get to work. And she has a really wonderful charisma about her. And I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm looking forward to us playing together. But I really do think that, the female dynamic will
continue to be strong. It'll be different.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
How could it not be? But I have faith. I have faith that we'll be able to work it out.
Yeah, it's so funny because usually, I mean, in a lot of shows we see if there's a really strong couple that fans really like they do with Stella and Severide, a lot of the time you see kind of their friends like phase out of the picture on the storyline. So it's so nice to see that they both have like their own lives also, in addition to being in love with each other. You know what I mean? Like very realistic.
It's very healthy. I gotta tell you, part of why I'm so excited to get back to work is really to just like allow myself to meld into like this character where it's like, see, like her life is fine. She's in a stable, committed relationship. She has her friends. She's a, you know, highly revered in her career. Like it's gonna be okay. Literally to just pretend my way through.
You're like, I'm gonna somehow figure my life out eventually enough to be like Stella.
Yeah, literally. I'm literally like, all right, I'm just gonna come to work and I'm gonna pretend I'm gonna put myself in this world, and then hopefully somehow there's a little bleed over copy paste into Miranda's life. All right.
Well, as much as you think it's a mess, you are killing it. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're very busy, so I really appreciate you coming on to chat. Hopefully we'll be able to see each other in person soon. I don't know when that'll ever happen again, but maybe.
No. Yeah, he was hoping. Yes, I had a very busy day with my bathtub and Netflix. But listen, I only for you, Em. I fit you in.
I love it. Thank you so much. We will be keeping an ear out for new music also. So make sure to keep me posted.
Yes, I absolutely will.
As always, guys, we want to wrap up the podcast with a few shout outs, starting with our Woman of the Week. There were so many amazing women at the Emmys, but obviously Catherine O'Hara crushed it because she won her first acting Emmy, which is honestly, like I said in the intro, insane. And the other woman I have to call out is Zendaya because she became the youngest woman to win in the Best Actress in a Drama category. And it's not surprising at all that she won to me because of the role that she portrayed in Euphoria. I know a lot of people were expecting that it was going to go to any of the other nominees. Honestly, they were all incredible. Obviously, you guys all know I love Jen Aniston. So obviously that was kind of what I was hoping for. That said, when Zendaya won, I would not imagine anyone else winning and putting on a speech that was so genuine, so heartfelt. She was surrounded by her family, and she said that while the show doesn't really exuberate hope, she hopes that she still can and that young people can, regardless of what's going on in the world. And I just love that message so much. So she definitely gets the spot for Woman of the Week, and I can't wait for season two of Euphoria to begin. My woman to watch, there's a lot of great women coming this week on TV, but I want to shout out Amber Ruffin because the Amber Ruffin Show starts on Peacock on Friday night. Now, she used to work on the Seth Meyers Show, and she's an incredible writer and comedian. But of course, this is going to kind of mix in her flair and her kind of sassy comments mix in with the news. So I'm very, very curious to see that. As for what to watch this week, in addition to the Amber Ruffin Show, you can check out Murder at White House Farms. A limited series kicks off on Thursday night on HBO Max. Utopia on Amazon on Friday, and The Comey Rule on Showtime on Sunday. These are my picks for the week. Obviously, there's a lot of other TV, but those were the shows that I was impressed with and am very interested to see more of. So let me know if you watch them and let me know what you think. As always, guys, you can reach out to me on social media at Emily Longaretta on all platforms and tell me what you're watching, what you're loving, what you don't love. I want to hear it all. Please, if you love the podcast, you can rate us, you can leave us a 5-star review, or you can leave a comment. I read all the comments. I really love to hear from you guys. So as always, let me know and let me know who you want to hear from next. I'm always looking for new guests. Thank you so much for listening and stay safe.